My intention today is to begin a new series of sermons on Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's an incredible letter. I love it very much, and I know that there are many of you who have a great fondness for this letter. I think it's especially appropriate for many reasons. It's especially appropriate because we're at the beginning of a new year, and there are new opportunities before us. We're at the beginning of a new decade, and it is a time when we consider change, and we consider how things might be different. And at a time like this, we need encouragement, and this is a letter that brings us great encouragement. We need perspective. How do I see things as they ought to be seen? We need focus. How is it that I, you know, zero in my efforts to bring about the results that I need? We need power. And if you feel that you're above all of those things, well, you probably need, you know, a bit of a reality check, because we all need those things. And this letter gives us great insight into all of this. Philippians is a small book, actually four chapters, but it's packed full of insight and encouragement. In fact, this might be one of those sections in Scripture that is more full of spiritual and theological sound bites than any other portion of Scripture of the same size. Actually, you'll find in your worship program for today, there's a yellow insert there. Just all it is a number of verses that often are very familiar to us, just to give you an indication of the kinds of things that we come to in Paul's letter to the Philippians. I want to encourage you to use that, maybe just to review, to meditate, to memorize, just some incredible passages there that will be of very good blessing to you. There's a couple of things that I want to share this morning in light of what we've already heard. And the first of them is this, that Paul's letter to the Philippians is a friendship letter. It's known as a letter of Christian friendship, specifically Christian friendship. And as I was watching those pictures being shown, and I saw a number of times community emphasized, and I saw even the word friends, true friends, emphasized. That's really one of the most important things we want to bring to our friends in Weagamau, is our expression of friendship in Christ. This is what this letter is about, a friendship letter. I want to read just the first two verses and then maybe focus on just one thought here, and that thought is, the thought is how Paul sees himself. Let me read for you. I think these verses are projected for us. Philippians 1, verses 1 and 2. It says this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just two verses but two verses that really are packed with truth. And I want to just bring a little of this out for us today. Paul's letter is actually deeply rooted in his love for Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done in his life. Paul is a changed man. And we find that throughout this letter. It's about people. It's about friendship, as I've said. It's about then people, and people that Paul has had history with, people that Paul loves and cares for. They're people who have undergone the most significant change in their lives, and that change is that they've met God. And from that point on, their lives are completely different. We can learn a lot about how people change through this letter. We're all people who need to change in our lives. I was very interested to hear Glenn share with me in my office this morning before coming out here that God had impressed one word on his heart as he was to pray this morning. And as you've heard, that word was change. And that's what I believe God has placed on my heart for us, is for us to consider how is it that God brings about change in our lives. If you struggle, as most of us do, with how to change truly, you're going to find this helpful. You're going to find this letter helpful. It'll teach you about the real dynamic of change that happens in our lives. Many people this time of year, of course, make New Year's resolutions. It is a new beginning. There are new possibilities, new options to take. We're looking for change, but change is hard. Would you agree with me? Change is hard. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions this year? Okay. One of you. One. I don't know. I think that says something else that we need to address in this. We need to change. One of you. Okay, so here's the follow-up question. Are you sticking with it, Glenn? Are you sticking with the change? Yeah, all right. Okay, so we have 100% success rate, actually, so far. change is difficult. In fact, I would suspect that maybe a lot of us haven't made New Year's resolutions because we know just how difficult it is to actually change. I like the line by George Carlin. He says, I put a dollar into the change machine, nothing changed. Maybe that's the way you feel. Albert Einstein said this, I must be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be. Well, that's profound. I need to be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be. As a pastor, I have known a lot of people who've really wanted to change. A lot of people have shared that with me, actually in some quite desperate moments in their lives. But they didn't know how to change. Didn't know how to see that difference come in their lives. I can recall a woman who shared with me, she's just constantly in struggle in her marriage, fighting all the time. And she knew that it was her anger. She knew that it was her abusive mouth that she brought to her husband. And she knew that was much of the cause of the struggle in their marriage. And it brought her to tears. But and they went through an experience where they were separated many times, and then there was some kind of reconciliation, and they were reunited again. But she could not change, and she lost her marriage. I've also had many men in my office who are confessing in tears that they'd cheated on their wives, often got caught. They were sorry, seriously, seriously broken. Some of them changed. Some of them did not. One of the ones who did change were serious about their relationship with God. That was the key. Serious about their relationship with God. So I want us to ask this question together this morning. You know, how can we truly change? Or maybe even this, can a person really change? Paul, the author of this letter, is a changed man, fully changed. And he's writing to a people who are changed because of their relationship with Jesus. None of them are perfect. None of them are at the end of the journey. They're still in process. But this letter is a testament to the power of God to bring change in people's lives. And I've kind of titled this meditation this morning, From Slaves to Saints, for two reasons. And first is just the simple matter that this is a letter written from someone or a couple who identify themselves as slaves, Paul and Timothy, and they're writing to saints, those holy ones, those who have been made holy in the power of Jesus Christ who dwell at Philippi. So from slaves to saints. But the second reason is that this letter has a lot to say about how by becoming slaves to Jesus Christ, we actually, at the same time, become saints. And that's a profound truth. It's really the heart of human transformation. It is what it means to be changed in the way that God would have us be changed. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It really means to have the most fundamental change from within. So in other words, you know, contrary to what we might expect, it's in becoming slaves that we find freedom. And it's in becoming lowly that we actually are exalted. And it's in fully acknowledging our own brokenness and our sinfulness and our shame that we, through the power of God, can become whole and clean and worthy. That's the kind of change that God wants to bring. And I just want to illustrate it just briefly with Paul's life, because Paul is one whose own life is testament to change. Paul met God and he became a new person. There are three simple things let me focus on this, that Paul himself came to see himself in a new light because he saw Jesus for who he was. He saw Jesus. And Paul's story about how he is transformed is the story of encounter with Jesus. The scriptures tell us that Christ is there for all of us if we would just open our eyes to see, if we just open our heart to see him. He's there for all of us, and he will work the most wondrous change in us. See, the fact is we need to come to see ourselves in light of our relationship with Christ. Paul has this message that he wants to bring out, and that message is that Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe. He is the King. In fact, that's what it means when he says that we're writing to you on the authority of Christ Jesus. It's actually King Jesus, the Messiah, who is the King, the one who rules and brings God's reign into all the earth. He's the King. Paul had seen it differently. He saw Jesus as a counterfeit. He saw the whole movement of following Jesus Christ as something that was actually destructive. And so Paul went about trying to snuff it out, trying to end it at all costs. Many of those who were followers of Christ were thrown into prison, some of them even killed at Paul's hand. It was because of Paul's doing. That's what he thought of it. But Paul needed to come to a new understanding of who Jesus was and a new understanding of himself. So we all operate out of an understanding of who we are, right? We have to have a sense of who we are in order to get on in our world. And if we have a high view of ourselves, well, we behave in a certain way. You know, we're confident, outgoing, engaging. If we have a low view of ourselves, then we behave quite differently. There's a lot of self-doubt. We're hesitant and withdrawing. How you see yourself matters. But here's the problem. Like, if you have a really high view of yourself, like Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, like you just have this incredibly high view of yourself, you can't humble yourself. You can't be compassionate because you feel others are beneath you. And you can't escape your insensitivity and your judgmentalism. At best, you can pity people because they're in need so far below you. And the opposite is true. If you have a really low view of yourself, you feel unworthy. You feel inferior to others, or worse, you're resentful of others, like Bruce Banner, a.k.a. the Hulk. You can't be confident and outgoing because of how you see yourself. It's that negative, accusing inner voice that keeps beating you down. Paul begins with a completely new understanding of himself, and it's radical. And in fact, if we catch it, it'll change our lives. It'll change us. He had a view of himself that begins with God, and he's totally defined by God. The answer to the question, how can I truly change, is bound up with this question: how does a hateful, murderous man like Paul become a tender, compassionate, self-sacrificing man? And the answer is, because of his encounter with Jesus Christ, he was changed. The answer to the question, how can I truly change, is answered by the question, what's my relationship to Jesus, the King? That's the source of change. This is how we're transformed. This is the hope and promise of Christian life. You enter into a relationship with Christ, and it goes so deep that it changes who you are, literally changes who you are, changes your identity. He is the merciful King, and you are his conquered slave. This is where I get the understanding from. When Paul uses the term servant as it's translated in what we've read here, actually that translation is not strong enough. The term is slave. Tom Wright, who's a highly celebrated New Testament scholar, translates this passage this way: from Paul and Timothy, slaves of King Jesus, to all God's Holy One in King Jesus who are in Philippi. Now, that term, slave, seems strong. It seems offensive to us. We can't help but think about the horrors of slavery in the American South in the 18th and 19th century. And it's an offense. That kind of slavery is an offense against every human being and against God, everyone made in the image of God. That kind of slavery is not to be put up with. It is a horrendous crime on humanity, and we need to work in all that we can to be rid of this horror. In fact, I understand that it's still estimated that there are somewhere around 46 million slaves in the world today, many in Central Africa and in India, and we need to work to see that undone. But Paul means it in a different way, not like the American South. He means it as being slaves to Jesus Christ. He does mean it as one who is in complete submission to another, one who, in fact, has been conquered by another, and whose whole life can be summarized as service to this other, Jesus Christ. And that might seem like a horrendous thing, but actually when that person is Jesus Christ, the one who is most loving, the one who is completely self-sacrificing, the one who has in his heart of hearts our very best interest, then to be his slave is to be in the highest place. He calls himself a servant, calls himself a slave. That's how we're to change. I think this is what we do in our mission to Weagamal in Hope Through Hockey. This is what we're intending. We want to show the power of Christ to bring transformation, to see hope rise. And it's as we surrender ourselves to Christ. We need to see ourselves truly as those who are his slaves. I wonder if that resonates with you. I wonder if you get a sense of the power of this. If we just see ourselves as those who in every way are defined as slaves of Christ for his honor, for his glory. It changes how you go about your marriage. Husbands and wives, when you struggle in marriage, the most transformative thing that you can do is to see your spouse as Christ sees them, and to act as the one who is the servant of Christ in that place. That's what changes us. That's what transforms us. I want to suggest this to you. I think there are some very critical lessons to learn here, and it is the secret of change is to see ourselves as God sees us, to see Christ as he is, and be transformed in that. What that means is in all of our relationships, this is where we go from here, in all of our relationships, to see ourselves first and foremost as a servant of God. God has placed me here for others in order that I might bless them according to the will of God. Pray that God will make you a servant in your relationships. Pray that God will make you a servant in all of your opportunities. Reflect upon what God has done in your life. Reflect upon the lordship of Jesus Christ and be changed. Be changed. And it's by being changed that we become agents of the grace and peace, as Paul describes it, the grace and peace that floods out into the lives of all of those around us. Well, I want to say how grateful we are for our Hope Through Hockey team and for all of the efforts that are made as we seek to bring the hope, bring the grace and peace of Christ to the world. As we start this new year, I want to challenge you to have that attitude that Paul had and to see how transformative it is. If we see ourselves as those who aren't completely sold out to the service of Christ, change will come. I think God truly wants us to hear this today, each one of us. God doesn't bring together the kind of thoughts and sort of stitch together what he has this morning without having strong, purposeful intent in our lives. We need to change. The power of change is Christ. And the change that we need is to become his servants. We do that simply by humbling ourselves, by bending the knee, by bowing and submitting to Jesus Christ, to receive him as our Lord, to receive him as the Master, the King that he is, and to live our lives as his servants. There's the power for change. May God bring that change in our lives today. May we be agents of that change. May we thoroughly embrace that change. I'm going to invite us to pray together, and then we'll have our worship team come and lead us as we worship God together. God, it's been so encouraging to us to see how with some organization and some influence, some compassion, we can go to another group of people, another community, and express love and see change come. We thank you for this. We thank you that there is that deep, abiding, truly transformative power of Jesus Christ that is available to us. We pray your blessing upon it. We pray that we might be changed and that we might be those as a congregation this year, as a community this year, who humbly, graciously, and full of joy, accept the challenge to be the servants, the slaves of Jesus Christ, for the honor of your name. It's according to your rule, and by the gift of grace and peace that you give, in your powerful name that we pray. Amen.